It's a pleasure to greet you once again. Welcome to Speaking of Schools. This is a podcast that is held each week from South Carolina's Department of Education. And this week, we have a very special presentation for you. Almost 2 weeks ago, State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman addressed a group in Greenville, the Public Education Partners of Greenville County, and talked about many items, certainly the successes in Greenville County schools, but also discussed many statewide topics, including testing, consolidation, and much, much more. Today on Speaking of Schools, we are bringing you a replay of that address by Superintendent Spearman. Of course, the podcast Speaking of Schools is sponsored by South Carolina's Department of Education and is featured each week here at this website. So join us today, State Superintendent Molly Spearman addressing the Public Education Partners of Greenville County, her introduction by Superintendent of Greenville County Schools, Burke Royster, and we are now Speaking of Schools.
Thank you, Neil. I appreciate those kind remarks, and much to everybody's relief, I'm not going to give a speech, as Neil indicated. I got a little excited about the opportunity to do that, and Greer said, no, don't go up there and talk long. It's not why they came to eat lunch. I do appreciate the chance to be with you today, and most especially the privilege to introduce our State Superintendent of Education, Molly Spearman. First, let me say on behalf of the Board of Trustees and the administration of the school district how much we appreciate not just public education partners, particularly public education partners, but as I look around the room, I see a number of individuals representing a number of nonprofits, a number of community agencies, a number of businesses and industry. And we appreciate and value all of those partnerships in addition to our very strong partnership with public education partners. We do what we do best when we do it in partnership with others in the community. So we appreciate your support as evidence, not just by your presence here today, but by all those things that you work with us in doing to provide greater opportunities to our students. As I said to you, it's a privilege to stand before you today to introduce our state superintendent. And I'm not going to go into a long biographical recitation of her accomplishments, but suffice it to say that she's been a teacher, she's been an administrator, she's been a legislator, she's worked in leadership at the State Department of Education, and for the last number of years, she served very capably as the executive for the Professional Association for all the administrators in the state, superintendents, principals, HR directors, instructional leaders, for all of our organizations. And now we are privileged to have her serve as our state superintendent. How refreshing it is to watch her serve in that capacity. As we went out this morning and she started the day having a conversation with our executive staff at the district office and answering their questions and having a meaningful discussion with them. And we left there and we went over to Carolina High School and I saw Molly interacting with students, with the faculty, with the principal of that school. And we left there and we went to Hollis Elementary School, same thing. And we stopped by the Early College over at University Center before we came here. And in every place, she showed an obvious affection for and an attention to the students in those schools. And she listened to the people that she came in contact with. What a refreshing change for us. And when she's been listening to those people, she does it from the basis of experience of having been where they are. We are not, any of us, where we want to be. We all want to continue to constantly improve and offer better opportunities and better services to our students. And I think we are very much at a place in our state where we have the kind of leadership now at the state level that can lead us to continued excellence, to improve in those areas we need to improve, but to do so in a way that listens to people, that values the experience and the knowledge of the people in the classroom, in the schools, and in the district before setting in recommending state-level policy. So we are most fortunate to have Molly Spearman in that role, and I am most pleased and fortunate to introduce to you today my friend Molly Spearman.
Thank you, Burke, and I have the greatest respect for your leader and for your school board, because the most important job that the school board has to do is to make sure that your constituents and your families here have a great leader. And you've got that in Burke Royster. And then for Burke, as we talked this morning, his most important role is to make sure that he matches the passion and talents of principals to get them in the right school where they can lead and support the teachers in that school. And from what I have seen today, he is doing an outstanding job with that. And I'm so pleased to be here. I have watched Greenville for a long time. I live about 2 hours down the road in Saluda. And you're quite the envy of many of us, your community. And so much of it is due to the partnerships and the support that you all give public education in this community. And why is it? I think it's because you all work together and you're supporting each other, and you have a fantastic public school system here. And that's one reason all these businesses are here and the quality of life. Mr. Chamber of Commerce is just wonderful. And you all figured that out a long time ago. This organization has been in existence now over 30 years and just always getting better and stronger. I want to tell you a little bit more about my morning. It's been very touching. First, we got here at 8:15, and I did meet with the leadership staff at the district office, and what a team you have. Again, most every one of them in that room, the envy of the state for leadership. They're the go-to people in this state when we say, let's ask so-and-so about so-and-so. We'll call so-and-so in Greenville because they know how to do it up there. But what a great team you had, and great questions, and the input I got from them. And one of my questions was, tell me where as an agency we might be getting in your way of keeping you doing the things that you want to do in your district. And they had a few things to tell me real quick. So I listened. So I've got my notes. I'm going back. Because I hope that our agency, the State Department of Education, that we are not a hindrance, but we are support to the great things that are going on in this district, and will help multiply that across the state. So I had a wonderful visit with your district office team. Then we went over to Carolina High School. And as I've looked at Greenville, and I think most people in this state, we look at Greenville and we have this image of what Greenville is, and we think of the industry and the beautiful downtown area, and that, you know, you don't have a whole lot of challenges up here when it comes to education. But I saw as I visited schools today that your demographics, and there are areas of your community that you do have children that are having a lot of family issues, socioeconomic issues, but what is so beautiful is how you're meeting those challenges. Saw one of the most dynamic, or spent the morning with two of the most dynamic principals that I've ever met. At Carolina High School, and then over at Hollis Elementary. And then we stopped by for a little while at the Early College, I should say three, because they're all just doing amazing things. But to see a high school where they've almost doubled the graduation rate in less than 4 years is unbelievable. I think how it happened, and there have been some good leaders there all throughout its history, but you've got a leader there now who they have divided up. Mr. Peake told me, Ken told me that the principal there and the administrative staff each have a little group of students that they work with, and if a high school student doesn't show up for a couple of days, somebody goes to his house and finds out why. They go check it out. Hey, Betty, didn't see you here. It's just amazing the personal commitment of your administrative teams at these schools and of the teachers to the students that they have. the principal had each senior, as they come into their 12th grade, to sign his robe, his black robe that he's going to wear on graduation night. And they all signed their names, committing that they're going to work hard to walk across that stage with him. And what a great idea is that. But he means it, and it's just fantastic to see this. Then over at Hollis Elementary, I saw some things there I had not seen before. You're offering single-gender, boys and girls, single-gender classrooms from kindergarten up through fifth grade for many of the students there. But the neatest thing of all was something that this organization sponsored, and it's Book Fair Day. Now, Book Fair Day for me when I was growing up was Mama gave me $2 or $3, maybe, and I got to go buy a book, maybe, and there were always a lot more. And I bet there were some children at our school whose mothers probably didn't have $2 or $3 to give them. But today, when we got down to the library, we opened the doors, and the tables were just stacked high with these beautiful brand new books, children's books, of everything you could imagine. Just everywhere, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different titles. And these little children were lined up. They had the little yellow bag. There was a group on the floor there that had just finished shopping. And so I kneeled down to talk to two little girls, and this little girl looked up. Her eyes were this big. She said, "Look at my books." And I said, "Well, how much did it cost?" She said, "They're free, free, free." And another little boy, he said, "And we don't have to bring them back. We get to keep them." Now, thank you for that. You're changing lives. Somebody asked me, how many books did I have? What kind of books did I read? You know, I look back now, and I didn't realize that we were kind of poor on the dairy farm. I didn't really have a lot of books. I had a Bible story book. I remember that was about it. But these children, you're changing lives. And just thank you, thank you, thank you for this program, all the many different things that you do to support these children. And that's what it takes. Our vision for education, my vision, and it's a shared vision with this district, the State Department of Education, Transform South Carolina, the State Chamber of Commerce, State School Board Association, SCASA, the Administrators Association, and Chamber, many others are joining in for a common vision. Our vision is that every child, when they graduate, is ready for the next step. It's simple. Every child's ready for the next step. Now, that sounds easy, but we've got a lot of work to do, and I need your help. You're doing it here in Greenville. The challenge is to help parents understand and students understand, educators understand, that our job is to find the passion of each child and what they're good at, their talents, God-given talents and skills, and try to find a cross with there. But the piece of it that we've kind of been leaving out that wasn't too smart is we also have to give them guidance on, does that match up with a career? What are you going to do for the rest of your life? And we've got to match that with the many wonderful jobs. Governor Haley, we're just doing a fantastic job of attracting these great careers to South Carolina, but we haven't been doing such a great job of getting our students ready for those careers and letting them understand what the pathway is to that career. It may be four-year college. It may be two-year college. It may be a fantastic high school career program that's going to send them right out into the workforce. They may go to the military. Whatever it is, we've got to help give them guidance for that pathway and to make sure it happens for every child. So my challenge is, how do we recreate this everywhere in South Carolina? And one of the reporters asked me that today. And, you know, if you travel, if you come down to my hometown in Saluda, we don't have a lot of industry there. We have a lot of cows and chickens, poultry industry. We don't have a lot of people industry. But we do have people who care. And every community in South Carolina has a church, you know? And we've got to engage the faith community more in supporting our schools and working together, or whatever group. It may be a garden club. It may be a book club, whatever. Whomever these folks are, we've got to engage in partnerships And I don't know of any district in this state who's done it better than right here in Greenville. So I need your help and your guidance. I'm working hard to try and bring more opportunities to students out in the rural areas. That's a passion for me since I grew up and I live there. I think a couple answers. It always goes back to leadership of the principal and the teachers in the school. That's the bottom line, silver bullets that really will work if you've got those quality principals and teachers in the school. So we're working on leadership development and recruitment and how do you retain those teachers out in the rural areas. We're working on incentives there. But, I think, again, it's the heart. Burke and I were talking about that today. It's not always about giving somebody an incentive to stay. If they have good support, if every teacher has a good principal, they're going to stay in that school if they feel the connection. So we've got to continually work on our leadership development. We've got to continually work on our infrastructure. And I'm really pleased, again, with Governor Haley and the legislature over the last 2 years. They funded it for the second year. We're anticipating, again, for the third year to build the technology infrastructure that we need all across South Carolina, because there are a lot of opportunities and really fine teaching that we can deliver now virtually. And that's really important that every community in South Carolina has that, so we're getting closer to that goal. And then we've got to think out of the box about career programs. I live in Saluda, 10 miles down the road, another county, Lexington 3, Batesburg-Leesville, small high school, 10 miles over for the third leg of the triangles, Ridge Spring, 1A school, very small little school in Aiken County, 3 different counties, 3 different high schools, 3 different school districts, 3 different technical college programs. And none of them are able to offer very much in career opportunities, 1 or 2 programs. So we're working, and there are other areas of the state in the same situation. We are working to try to have some pilot programs where those imaginary lines that we've established years ago fall away, and that we serve the child and we serve the student across those lines. So that's something that we're really working on and trying to get ready to up and running next year so that they can share some programs. So those are a few of the things that we're doing. I'm anxious to listen to your questions and we'll talk a little further. But I want you to know this is a very special job and I am thoroughly enjoying this opportunity to listen to parents, to listen to teachers, and to listen to students. It's amazing what they can tell you. The first advisory group that I pulled together was a group of students from across the state, and they were so articulate and made me so proud, and they were right on target. Really, when the teachers came, the teachers said the same thing the students were saying about the changes that we need to make in our state. But we're moving in the right direction. We've got a lot of wonderful things already happening. My job, and with your support, is to replicate those and make it happen in South Carolina for every student in our most rural communities, as well as here in this beautiful city. But I thank you for what you're doing, and I look forward to your questions. Greer, you ready? I'll repeat it, okay? I may change it a little bit. It's too hard.
I'll say it loud enough. Okay. To be honest up here. What feedback have you heard about the recent state testing?
What feedback have I heard from the recent state testing? Well, if you want to know the truth, you ask a child. So I've been asking students about the latest ACT, WorkKeys, and Aspire. And the elementary students and middle school students for the first time took a timed test, as you all know. In the past, our past test was untimed. So that was a huge challenge for everybody, particularly those who'd taken the test for a few years. So I go to middle school. This was over in Pickens County, I think, last week. So how did y'all like, this was sixth grade, how did y'all like the recent test? And a couple kids, it made me think quicker. I liked it. I did fine. Or I didn't finish quite. But this one little boy raised his hand. He said, when the moment the teacher told me it was timed, I freaked out. And he said, when she said go, all I could think think about was that clock ticking. And then he went on to tell me some other things, and but he really told it quite honestly. The feedback overall has been very good on the test. Students particularly liked taking work keys, which is good news. They feel that they did pretty well on it. We'll see. I think it's harder than we think it is. The work keys, as you know, is an assessment that will tell you how prepared you are for jobs. And so that's very, really important, and I'm glad that we're giving that to all of our 11th graders. The ACT, the students said, was difficult. Those who had taken the courses they needed to take did well. We are giving it to all students, whether they've taken the courses they need or not. So I think that's something we might need to look at. You need to be prepared to take the test. The younger children thought some parts of the spiral were hard, and you know, they did okay. From the teachers, most of them are saying, I was very reluctant about the time test, but once we did it, I think it'll be okay. But some of them are very, very concerned, and I think there's some children that being timed really upset them, so we'll just have to look at that. But I'm really concerned more about, are they prepared on the content level, and can they apply what they know? We are in the process right now of writing a new procurement. As you know, the procurement of the of those tests was ruled invalid and was thrown out, and we have to go through the procedure again. That happened before I got there, but we're writing and going to do a new procurement. All the companies are still eligible to bid, so we'll see what happens. But it's not a good situation, because if we get the same test again, of course, that might make it a little easier as far as professional development. But if a new company wins, which maybe that could happen, we'll have to do professional development and training. So we're trying to work as fast as we can. I believe that we are close to closing out the input on the procurement, and we'll have that test and bid it out just as soon as possible. But overall, it was good. I think we always, though, still need to be looking at it. Are these tests assessing what we need to know? And I'm not sure yet.
How will EVOS impact South Carolina's teachers? And you might need to tell
Okay, how will EVOS impact South Carolina teachers? EVOS is a new teacher evaluation system that we're using. We are making some changes. Previously, it had been decided that 30% of the teachers' of test scores would be used to evaluate the teachers. We feel like that was a little bit high. We've asked for a waiver from the federal government. We have not gotten a response yet, but we're going to lower that to 20%. And we're going to use multiple test measures, not just one test. But I will say, from the EVOS system, of what I have seen and talked with folks looking at the information that comes back, it really does drill down into the teacher's individual classroom and will give you a good idea of what you need to work on, and if you need to work on any area and where it is. So I think it's going to impact, I hope it's going to impact us more positively than we thought, most of us thought in the first place.
Funding for public education going, and what is the role of your role in the state?
Okay, good question. Where do I see funding going, and what is my role as state superintendent in that? The reality is this. There are a lot of demands on a finite pool of revenue, and none of the demands are bad ones. There are education demands, there's healthcare demands, there's infrastructure demands for our state, and all of those are very, very important and real needs. So for me this year, and what I say to my friends in education, you know, we've got to be very, and I think you have a great example of it here in Greenville, we have to be really good stewards of the revenue that comes in. And we do have to make priorities. I don't know that we'll ever go back to the days where, prior to 2008, where the funding was more generous. I see my role, though, is to be honest with the state legislature and let them know what the needs are. I'm not afraid to ask for the funding of the base student cost, but at the same time, I felt that I had to be realistic in my ask. you know, I can ask for it. It was a huge, it would have cost more this year to fully fund the base student cost than the additional revenue that was available, plus all these other needs. So I tried to go at it from a realistic standpoint of let's work on $100, $100 here, and they funded what I asked. I know the districts may not have gotten exactly what it sounded like they were going to get out of that increase, but I see my role as working closely with the legislature to ask, and I see my role with the superintendents and finance directors to always be talking about how can we share our resources, particularly in those smaller districts. They've got to think out of the box. I told my good friends in some of the smallest districts I was meeting with, and they said, well, you know, if we get an increase on base student costs, we're so little, that's not much money. I said, listen, you're not going to get any more money just because you're little. I'm telling you, it's just not there. You're going to have to start working together across district lines to share resources, to think of ways you can better use that funding to bring more opportunities for students. So I've tried to be realistic, but I'm not afraid to ask. And as the economy grows, hopefully we'll do better. Now, there is much discussion about the old funding formula, that it's out of date, and I think it is. I think we've band-aided it for many years, and it probably needs a total rework. But getting that done is very difficult in the legislature. It really is. It's just a huge task, and it's not something that can be done just in a committee meeting. It takes years of work, and we've been working with some business officials on a plan that several groups have proposed. It's not a perfect plan, but they have done the background work. But getting the attention of the legislature to look at that and really take it up seriously is very difficult, because it may mean some legislators would have to vote for revenue going to another district in a different way other than their own, and that's hard to do. It's really hard to do. So I think we're going to have to probably live with our formula for a while, and I'll keep asking and also encouraging that we use everything and prioritize to make sure we're spending it right. Any other questions?
The emphasis on STEM and other core subjects, how do we ensure that we don't lose sight of the importance of arts education?
Oh, that's a good question. With the emphasis on STEM, how do we make sure we don't forget the arts? Well, you're not when you got a music teacher, state superintendent, I'll tell you. I love the arts, and so last Thursday night, I'll share this story with you. I was kind of tired. I really thought, oh man, I really don't want to drive to Charleston tonight, but I am so glad I did. I was invited down to Sanders Clyde Elementary, which is, if you're familiar, as you get off Bay Street coming out of Charleston to get back on the interstate, you know you go through some areas where you can tell the neighborhoods has a lot of challenges. This is the elementary school right in the middle of that area. And they have started an infusion of the arts with some partnerships, some folks who are really supporters of the art. The principal told me that 4 years ago, they tried to do a production, arts production. They have about 400, between 400 and 500 students, K through 8, goes through middle school. 12 kids signed up, 3 showed up, okay? I went to see the production of Annie, and the fifth graders put it on, and it was all African-American children. The room was filled with their parents and their little brothers and sisters just mesmerized at this production. And to see these little fifth grade boys and girls, but particularly the boys, come out on stage and tap dance and sing, and to see how proud they were, it was a great moment. We cannot forget the arts. If we want to personalize education, we have to meet the passions of children, and so often it's in the arts. And the arts give you the confidence. It gives you the confidence to stand up on the stage and recite a poem or play the piano or show off your painting or whatever. That confidence building that you can get through the arts, there's just no other way I know to build it. So we have to include the arts, and I'm so excited because when we leave here today, we're going over to Penny Fisher, and it's not a STEM, it's a STEAM, right, Burke? It's a STEAM school, so that's what I'm going to be promoting. But again, you know, it's just about meeting the needs of all our students, and for too long, we have been so wrapped up in high-stakes testing that we took away, I saw this happen when I was teaching, and as a principal, we started taking away children's right to go to the arts. In fact, we even cut some of the arts so that we could give them more remediation in reading. Well, now, you can teach reading through the arts. And I saw little children who, and sometimes they were going back to stuff they were already bored doing, and they just had to do more of it. You know? That was not very smart, and I'm glad we're waking up to that. I'm glad the pendulum is swinging back in, that yes, we have to test, yes, we have to assess, but let's do it with some common sense and realize that the arts are part, they're not fluff, they're basic to what a child and a student needs as they go through our schools. Okay? I got some arts people over here. Okay, what do I see as responsibility for folks who have left K-12 without graduating? Well, we did a major, the legislature did a major thing last year, you know, on the high school exit exam, that if folks had not passed that, they can appeal now to get their high school diploma, which many have done that. For those who have left, this should be a huge focus, Burke and I were talking about this morning, of our adult education programs. We've got to help these people, particularly the young people who have dropped out. And I would say anyone from 16 up, you know, and it's important for anyone to get their high school diploma. But if they've already figured it out and had a job, made it, you know, in their 50s and 60s bracket, that's fine. We'll still work with them. But for these young adults, we have got to reach them. There are a couple things that we're doing. Governor Haley has proposed several good ideas under the SC Succeed legislation, which has not passed yet, but we hope it will. I think it's a coordination between all of us, between Department of Education, between Department of Workforce Readiness, with the technical college system, to identify these folks, to do an intense boot camp, maybe, type program for these folks to get their GED, and to get them certified so that they can matriculate on through technical school and help them with their pathway to a great job. And it's not just folks who are unemployed, it's for folks who are underemployed also. There are many, many people. One, a young lady in my, you may have heard me tell this, but it's not just about, if I can segue the question, not just high school diploma, but also the ability to go to college. I have a young woman in my church who was very bright, but came from a very poor family and just never had the opportunity to go to college. She's in her 40s, but about 10 years ago, she had started driving a school bus. And she started driving the bus, and then they said, okay, if you want to make a little more, why don't you come be an aide in the classroom? She started working aide in the classroom in special ed, and she was almost as strong as the teacher in the classroom. She was really good at it. So she came to me and she said, Molly, I'm thinking about going back to school. Will you write a reference for me? I did. And Kathy worked herself through college. It took her about 8 years to get her 4-year degree because she had to pay for it all herself. And there were some years she couldn't go to class. She had children. But she is now a full-time special ed teacher in Saluda and won Teacher of the Year at her school a few weeks ago. I think we need to be looking for folks like that also, the underemployed. And if there's anybody the state ought to be helping, those folks, particularly those who want to be teachers. Is that it on the question? Any other questions? Anybody have a burning question? You got one? Okay.
Yes,
we got about five.
Twice, so
okay.
How do you feel about school district consent? consolidation.
Okay, that's a fair. The big C.
Yeah.
Big, my personal feeling on consolidation is that it is best when it comes from the local community. Now, a lot of communities, that is one of the biggest fights ever, is closing schools. I understand that. But in my tenure, I would say over the last 10 years, when I first started working at SCASA, I think we had 95, 96 school districts. We're down to 82. So we're making progress, and it's being done by legislators who in their communities see the need, and whether it's accepted or not, they're pushing the legislation through. And so it is coming from that local area. And it's not always smooth, but I do think it's a much better use of our tax revenue the more we can bring together districts. To have districts, you know, with 600, there, and of course that's McCormick, and McCormick is a countywide district, so there's nobody for them to consolidate with unless they go regional, but it's just a very, the population is just very small there. See, they only have 600 some students in the whole district, but we do have some others where it could be consolidated in counties for sure. So, but again, I really, my personal, I hesitate to demand that from the legislature that all have to consolidate into one county systems. That's been proposed many times, but I think it's happening. And compared to us, we're about the size of Alabama. We're down to 82 districts, about the same population size. They have 138. So, you know, we're doing better than most think we are. It's an area for growth. I'm pushing consolidation of resources. At least they can do that. Start thinking what you can share, those neighboring districts.
One more.
Okay, one more. Third time. That's good.
Teachers, students, and parents have had so much uncertainty in the past 5 or 6 years with changes in the standards and the tests. Do you see a time in the near future when we might have stability?
We're working on it. That is a great question. It's all about the chaos that we've had, standards, testing, evaluation. It's been ridiculous. And the district team asked me this morning what were some of my goals. My first goal was to get some of that settled, just to settle as much as we could and get a calm. And I'm proud that we were able. We now have our South Carolina College and Career Ready standards that were reviewed. The old standards were reviewed and rewritten by South Carolina teachers. They did a great job. We brought them together when we took office in January. They weren't settled. So we brought the writers in the same room with the reviewers, included parents and teachers, college professors. We had representatives from the major universities. We brought them in the same room, English language arts. They were able to work that out in a day or two. Math took a while. College folks said, they're not hard enough. They're not rigorous enough. And some of our high school folks says, you don't even have calculus. You need to add a calculus. And they're organized in a way that nobody's understanding. You need to do them by course. So we took all of that input. We added cursive writing, which a lot of folks wanted added in third grade. Somebody mentioned that on Facebook this weekend, and we got a lot of excited people about that. But I'm really, really pleased. We had to take them to the state board for approval. We had to take them to the Education Oversight Committee. They were approved. And we had to then go to the colleges and universities, and they were unanimously approved as college and career ready standards by Clemson, Carolina, College of Charleston, all of our public universities and colleges in the state. I think it's a better product. It came from our people, and I think we have really good buy-in. So that's done. Now the test, I hope as soon as we get this procurement settled we talked about a minute ago, that's going to be done for another, 5 years or so. And the evaluation, we're making it better. We listened to teachers. We felt the same way, that it was too much weight on one test. So we're trying to even that out. So I give us another couple months, and I think you're going to see it pretty, I hope it's going to be pretty calm. I've been in office 4 months. And we've done a lot. We've done a lot. But we got a lot more to do.
That's today's Speaking of Schools. State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman addressing public education partners in Greenville County. Our thanks to David Hearn as well as Pat McCluck for making that recording available to us here on Speaking of Schools. And we thank you for being with us for this week's podcast. Hope you enjoyed Superintendent Spearman's remarks. Speaking of Schools, of course, is a podcast that's a weekly feature from South Carolina's Department of Education. My name's Doug Keel, and I'm your host each week for this particular podcast. We thank you again for being with us and invite you to join us once again next week when we'll be Speaking of Schools.